Amen. Thank you, Miss Kelly. That's good. Amen. Let's take our Bibles and turn to John chapter 1. We're not going to stay in chapter 1, but start out in chapter 1. Appreciate you being here tonight. God bless you. I mean that. And some years ago, I preached a message on Easter Sunday night called Easter Sunday Night. And the evening of that Jesus rose again, the disciples were meeting in the upper room, but one of them wasn't there, Thomas. He decided not to go to church on Easter Sunday night, and Jesus showed up. You know what? Jesus said, well, it doesn't really matter. Listen, Jesus can show up, and he can do a work in our life, and I appreciate that. John chapter 1, verse number 1. A familiar passage. But you know, the Bible's so rich. You could preach this over and over again, you get something different. You go down this rabbit trail, that rabbit trail, go down this way, go that way, and preach this doctrine, preach that doctrine. There's so many things there. And we're gonna talk about something kind of similar to what we've been talking about on Sunday nights. And again, just kind of hit it from a little different perspective, but I think it'll be a blessing to you. John chapter 1, verse number 1 says, in the beginning was the Word. Now, the Word, of course, is Jesus. The Word, of course, is then, the Bible says, is light to our path. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Look at this. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Let me say this. It says, in Him was life, not death. Death is in us. Talked about that this morning. The wage of sin is death. We're dead yet as we live. We're dead yet as we live. In Him was not death. In Him was life. Not only was in Him was life, but in him is the ability to make alive. See, God is the Lord Jehovah is the self-existing one, the one that has life, the one that gives life, from whom all life comes, the source of life. Now, he says, in Him was life, and the life, that life-giving power, that non-death, that life was the light of men. So the life in Christ is that which makes manifest and understandable to men. That word light means to shine, to make manifest, to make it observable, to for us to be able to see, to comprehend. So life gives us the light to be able to understand, to comprehend. It makes it manifest. Verse 5, and the light shineth in darkness, means dimness, shadiness, gray areas, obscurity. The light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. See, listen, the darkness did not take, that when it says comprehend, it didn't receive the light, the manifestations. It doesn't receive eagerly. It's interesting, that's kind of part of what it means. It says that it did not comprehend, it didn't want to comprehend. Darkness does not want to see light. Life wants to see the light. When He makes us alive in Christ, not only does that life give us light, but it makes us desire the light. So the darkness comprehended it not. So in other words, it did not take it, didn't receive it. The fact it came to the darkness wanted to stay dark. It did not want to possess the light. When it said it did not comprehend, it did not receive it eagerly. It didn't want to understand it. Verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, to bear witness, to report, to testify, to draw attention to. He says, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. So it says that means the intention, the purpose, is that all men might believe. In other words, he was not, well, it goes on, it says he was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That light was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Now watch me. The light is in all of us, but we do not want to possess the light because we're dark. No one has an excuse. God has manifested himself. That says there's light, there's a certain light in all men. You really don't have to convince some little child there's a God. You just don't. And the fact is, if we would come like a childlike faith, like he says, we must come as a child, we'd have to admit there's something bigger than you and I out here. At the very least, there's something bigger. I don't know who he is, but at the very least, there's something bigger. There's a God out there. There's a light. So the light is in all of us, but we do not want to possess the light. So John the Baptist came to draw our attention to the light, hoping we would see the manifestation of the light and want the life that gives the light. Verse 10, he was in the world, and the world was made by him. And the world knew him not. He came unto his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, flip over to John 8. This is really the verse we're going to focus on tonight. But I want you to see this background. John 8, 12. The idea, the concept of the light goes through the book of John quite a bit. That's a good way to study sometimes. Look for a particular word like that. So you see it three or four times, study it in the book and see how it's a returning theme. John 8:12 says, then spake Jesus unto them, saying, watch, I am the light of the world. But wait a minute, he's the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and we beheld his glory. The Word was made flesh. But the Word is life. The Word is light. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Watch. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. He didn't say, he that followeth me shall have a little bit more understanding. Maybe he'll be able to. He says, shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. He have the light that life gives. But you see, if we're dead in sin and trespasses, we don't have the light. So you had to have the life if you're going to have the light. He that followeth me, though, shall not walk in darkness. But there's a light in every man who has been born. We just read it. So wait a minute. It's not just the fact that you don't get the light because you follow him. You get saved because he gives you life. And when you get life, you get the light, more of the light. But you're not going to walk in darkness because you're going to follow him. You can be saved and have the light of life in your heart, but you're not going to, you may still walk in darkness if you're not following the light. Turn to chapter 12, verse 46. You're going to see a familiar word in here, a familiar word. John chapter 12, verse 46, and then we'll get rolling. I am come, he says, a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me shall not abide in darkness. There's that word abide. Shall not stay, shall not continue, shall not dwell, shall not endure the darkness. shall not remain in the darkness. He's the light of the world. Let's pray. And we're going to talk about this question. Are you walking in the dark? Are you walking in the dark? Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for the truths that are in it. Lord, I want to encourage our folks. I'm not here to reprove or rebuke necessarily, though it may feel that way from time to time. I want to encourage our folks to walk in the light as he is in the light, to follow him so we don't walk in darkness. Lord, we live in such a dark world. And the fact is, we spend too much time looking at the darkness than looking at the light. We spend too much time following the darkness rather than following the light. So, Lord, I pray that we can encourage and may your Holy Spirit illumine, enlighten us this evening to not walk in darkness any longer. Lord, we ask you to be with us. We give the praise. Again, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever wondered, have you heard someone say, well, I'm in the dark on that one? You know? Or, she keeps me in the dark. I got another one, but I won't say that in polite public. When I was, I won't go there. But anyway, somebody said, you can use your imagination. Someone said that they work for a company and they treat them like mushrooms. They keep them in the dark and they feed them. But anyway, that's not very nice, is it? But anyway, we walk in the darkness. Are you tired of walking through life in the dark? You don't have to be. Many Christians are saved and going to heaven, but right now they are walking in the dark. John 11:10 says this, "But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth because there is no light in him." Now, we can have the light of life in us, be saved, have the light available to us, but if we're not following the light, we're going to be walking in the dark. And if we're walking in the dark, we're going to do some very foolish things. It may be something we say to somebody. It may just be a decision that we make. We're just going to be rambling around, trying to find truth, trying to figure out what the next step is in life. Now, this goes along with some of our recent messages. We want God to guide us, and we say we want to know God's will and direction so we can follow God's will and direction. And if you want the light of the Lord to shine for you so you can see clearly what God wants you to do, you must stay close to the source of light. The further you drift from the source of light, the shadier and the grayer and the more obscure our way becomes. Let me go back to that John 8:12. Walk through that with me a little bit more. Put that back in our mind, because that's where we are, and then I'm going to give you some statements here. John 8:12. "Then spake Jesus unto them, saying, I am the light of the world." That word light means to shine on, to make manifest, to make known. Jesus is the one that shows things for what they truly are. The problem is, we don't always want to know what they truly are. You know, don't tell me that I'm ugly. I just want to pretend I'm still good looking. You know, there's a lot of things we say, well, I don't really want to know that, but I want to feel good about myself. There's a lot of that in this world. Don't tell me the truth because it hurts my feelings. You hurt my feelings. That's almost like that's the greater sin. Now, don't go around and tell everybody how ugly they are. You know, you don't need to do that. But the fact is, when truth comes, we ought to receive it if it's truth. So Jesus is the one, that's where the light comes from. That's truth. Jesus is the Word. He's the Word made flesh. He's the one that makes known. So it says, "I am the light of the world. He that, watch, followeth me shall not walk in darkness." So Jesus is the light. And he that followeth me, that means to be in the same way with. That is to accompany. You're going along with Jesus. Now, if you don't go along with Jesus, you're going to be walking in the dark. You go along with Jesus, you're going to be walking in the light. There's a few times when I remember my dad, when I was really little, we'd go out to his father's farm, and he had one of those big old flashlights with the great big dry cell in, you know, and you hit that thing and it would make a spot. I mean, that thing, I mean, you know what kind of law did you go out spotting deer for? You're not supposed to do that. But go out spotting deer, you know. You're not, well, just don't shoot them when you spot them. I guess that's what it is. But, and he just makes a beam. But the fact, it was really funny though, he'd stand here and he'd be spotting the deer, we'd go out and look at him, and you would have this stream of light going out that way, but back there it was just as dark as it could be. All the light was going that direction. Now, of course, I remember a few times when we were going out through the meadow, and I'm you know, typical little boy, just kind of keep, you know, I'm wandering around, looking around, and he's moving on. Come on, sir, and I'm moving around, and he's gone up there, and all of a sudden, well, see, we were in the meadow, and we have cows. He said, if you had been with me, you wouldn't have stepped in that. Why, I didn't see it, Dad. Well, I am the one that has the light. So if I had stayed close to the possessor of the light, I wouldn't have been in a mess. But there was a lot of other very interesting things I wanted to see. There was a lot of fun things. There was this little rattle over there, and a little rattle over there, and wondering what this was, what that was, and, you know, a little boy just kind of wandered around. You see, if we follow him, if I accompany him, we shall not walk in darkness. Shall not. Now, that's interesting. And it was just the word shall not, but it's a double negative. You won't, you won't, you won't. You won't, you won't anymore, at all, at any time, by no means. If you stay close, because you see, he's not going to guide you in the wrong spot. When there's something that needs to be seen, he won't turn the light over there and we end up stepping in the mess anyway. Now, he knows exactly where to shine the light, when to shine the light, how far to shine the light. Because he's the light. And the one who's got the light is God. So he says, he that followeth me shall not, won't ever, anytime, any means, or any, walk in darkness. That word walk means to tread through life. As you walk your way through life, you will not be walking in darkness, in dimness, in obscurity, thinking you might be seeing correctly, but you're not able to be sure. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The illumination that the life in Christ can bring to you. When you walk in the light, you're going to walk in the light. You have to follow him because he has the light. Let me give you a couple statements. Some of them are going to be kind of duh. We knew this, but I want you to think it. Number one, Jesus is the light. I'm not the light. You're not the light. Joel Osteen's not the light. Dr. Phil's not the light. Oprah's not the light. There's one light. Jesus is the light. He is the light of the world. He is the light that shineth in the darkness. Listen, it's almost like Jesus is that flashlight. He's the one that shines it, shows it for what it truly is. Watch this. There's always light around Jesus. Now, sometimes we don't like what it shows. You've heard me say this before, and it's the truth. There's a couple places there's a couple hotel chains that decorate their rooms certain ways, and there was one that we used to go to when we went down to the Sword Conference. I don't think it's been the problem here recently, but I don't know what it was. But when you walked into the bathroom, just the way the lighting was around the mirror, it made every gray hair shine like it was neon. Made every wrinkle look like it was a quarter inch dark, deep. You know, made it dark down, you could see it. I didn't like that. But they didn't have an alternative or a dimmer switch. It just is what it is. I had someone come up to me the other day. I wore this other gray suit, and I don't know whether I told you this. This person said, "Well, I don't know how you do it, Pastor." I said, "Do what?" He said, "You're amazing. What's that?" He says, "You can find a suit the same color as your hair." Thank you very much. There's always light around Jesus. If you're close to Jesus, you're close to the light. And if you're not close to Jesus, you're not in the light. You will be in the dark, the dimness, the obscurity. Now, it's just that clear. It's just that plain. Number two, if you are in the light, you cannot be in the dark. Light and darkness are mutually exclusive. You turn the light on, and all of a sudden, it dispels the darkness. 1 John 1:5 says, "This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." So if you're still obscure, if things are still a little shady, if things are a little gray, we just need to get closer to the light. Because in him is no darkness at all. And so our problem is, you say, "I don't know what I'm supposed to do." Then you're not close enough to him. "Well, I thought I was," but apparently you're not. Because in him is no darkness at all. Listen, so many times we say, "Well, I'm following him, but I'm kind of checking out some things here while I'm going." Yeah. Step. I'm following the light, but now I'm in a mess. Because there's a few other things I wanted to check out along the way. If I stay closer to the light, I wouldn't have been in the obscurity and taking steps where I shouldn't have been. If you are in the dark, then you're not near Jesus. 1 John 1:5, I started with. Verse 6 says this. You know, you want to look at it for a second real quick. 1 John, way back in the back, says this. "If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and we do not the truth." Well, I'm right there with Jesus. Well, are you in the dark? Well, yeah, a little bit. Then you're not walking with Jesus. But listen, Jesus and I, we're just like this. But are you still making foolish decisions as if you have no idea what truth is? Something's not shining the light on truth. You're missing truth. If you're missing truth, then you're not walking close enough to the light. It's just that clear. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we're lying to ourselves, if not just everybody else. And we do not the truth. Verse 7, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin," washes all that darkness away. And I think that there's, when it says we have fellowship one with another, I think he started out with a fellowship with Jesus, one with another. He says, "I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and with him and sup with him and he with me." Jesus said, "I'm here. I'm knocking. I want to be right there with." The problem is we have to open the door on our side. That's not just salvation. In fact, really, we're kind of taking a little bit out of context when we use that out of Revelation when we talk about salvation. He's talking to the church. He says, "Let the light into the church." I'm outside the church, and you're busy having your party and having your this and your that, and you're seeker sensitive. What about the Savior self? You're not. Listen, you left the Savior out in the cold, standing in the rain. We're all sensitive for everybody else, but the one that we were supposed to come talk to, the one we were supposed to come hear, he's not even in here. We're having church, and by the way, if he's out there and we're in here, the light's there and we're in the dark. knowing that we must wait and trust and obey and yet not know what is going to happen is not living in the dark. Is not living in the dark. No, listen, sometimes we have to wait. We trust and obey. When we don't really know what's going on. But sometimes we're just waiting. If the light's not moving, don't move. Because listen, if the light is here and you move on, you know the story in the Old Testament. He says, listen, when that pillar of fire moves, you move. If the pillar doesn't move, you stay right where you are. God is the light. So when God says, well, let's go over here, well, then we go over here because this is where the light is. Well, then he takes back here. Well, we've just been here. I don't care. This is where the light is. I'm going to stay in the light. Well, I'm tired of moving. You go ahead and move this time. Now I'm in the dark. You see what I'm saying? It doesn't matter what he said. Sometimes he takes us from here to there to yon just to prove to us whether we're willing to follow him. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. Sometimes the thing we are to do is to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. But if we are in the dark, we may get scared in the dark and start moving and running and do something foolish and hurt ourselves, stumbling in the dark. If you're close to the light, you're not in the dimness. You're not in the obscurity. You stay where the light is. Number three. If we want to walk in the light, we must be willing to give up the darkness. That's a biggie. You wouldn't think it would be. But see, you flip that light on and every gray hair shows. Every fault. Every failure. The fact is, then we realize how much he loves us in spite of all our imperfections. Let me say again, if we want to walk in the light, we must be willing to give up the darkness. You're not in the dark, you are not in the darkness, and you can see clearly if you are willing to open your eyes to the light. Listen, have you ever had to get up real early in the morning and it's still dark and you walk in and you flip that light on in the bathroom? Your eyes actually hurt. You ever have that happen? While they're adjusting, maybe just getting older, but they actually hurt. But light is good. Janet broke a toe the other month ago. Well, we think she jammed it pretty good there, walking in the dark. And she said, I don't know how I did it. I know where I was going. I knew exactly where that chair was. And I still hit it because we were in the dark. And yet, when we go in the bathroom, we turn the light, our eyes hurt, we kind of would turn the lights back off and try to find our way. Isn't it crazy? But then you got John the Baptist says, oh, ye generations of vipers, who hath warned thee to flee the wrath to come? Go forth and bring forth fruit, meet for repentance. Then you come back and talk to me. Listen, you say, well, I want to go to church. I want to feel better when I get out. Like I've always said, the feeling better comes after the feeling bad. You got to find where the problems are. Get rid of the problems. You got to have a listen. You've got some kind of tumor. You've got something. Like I always say, the bad appendix that I had. You got to cut that baby out before it kills you. Because in the long run, you're going to feel a whole lot better. You know this passage, John 3. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world. That really was, he doesn't get any joy showing us our problems. But he has purpose behind showing us our problems. He didn't come into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Have the life, the light, and the life. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. He says, I'm not coming here increasing your condemnation. I'm just simply telling you that we're all condemned already. I'm just turning the light on so you can see the situation. I'm turning the light on so you can see that spider that's on the wall as big as your fist that's about ready to jump on your neck. But you felt a whole lot better before he turned the light on because you didn't know the spider was there. Now you turn the light on, you scream. Well, thanks a lot. Well, yes, you're welcome. We're condemned already. And this is the condemnation, that light is come unto the world, and the men loved darkness. The shadiness, the obscurity. Men love darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, shown that they are wrought in God. You see, many folks would rather stay in the dark when it comes to life because they truly knew, if they truly knew the truth, they would be seen as the sinners that they are. But their pride doesn't want that. They don't like being told that they're wrong. So we're going to do whatever we can. Listen, there are some folks, there are some atheists, there are some people out there who will go. In fact, who was it? You tell me. They said evolution has to be true because if it's not, then that must mean it's God. Who was it? You guys know those quotes. Who was it? He said something like that. Oh, come on, you guys know that. It wasn't Dawkins. It was somebody. He says that if evolution is not true, then it has to be true because otherwise, we got to believe in God. There's really only other answer. And so they'll fight to the death in the dark. Why are so many religions so confusing? I'll tell you one reason. Because the truth gets lost in the obscurity, and the darkness of that obscurity covers their sin in their eyes. I'm not sure how that works, but, you know, that guy must be really intelligent. What must be something much beyond me because I can't understand it. Yeah, the rest of them can't either. It's foolishness. And the darkness comes along, and it covers their sin, and that's all they care. They come out, I did my job, I said my Hail Marys, I did this and I did that, and everything must be fine. But you see, it doesn't cover the sin in the eyes of God because God is light. And everything's made manifest in the eyes of God. We must be willing to come to the light and be seen for who we are if we are going to have the light for our lives. Now, you say, well, that's fine. I'm saved. I know that. No, wait a minute. I'm talking about all the little minute things that God's now doing. He who hath begun a good work shall perform until the day of Jesus Christ. He's shining light on things. Right now, he's shining light on one particular issue, maybe two issues in your life. And he's not going to give you more light until he deals with the light that he's already given, until you deal with the light he's already given you. Because you're not ready for that next step. You got to deal with where you're going to stay. You can't jump in the dark. That's what we want to do. We want to take a leap in the dark and jump from this in our life to over there. He says, no, I got something right here you need to deal with. There's something right here. And we'll talk ourselves out of it because we'd rather stay in the dark and think we're okay than come to the light and see that we're not. If we want to walk in the light, we must be willing to give up the unfruitful works of darkness. Look at Ephesians 5:6. Ephesians 5:6. Ephesians 5, verse 6. Ephesians 5, verse 6 says, let no man deceive you. Don't let anybody talk you out of this. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Don't let them pull a bunch of stuff on you. Pull the wool over your eyes. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. Verse 8, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. He says, the light lives in you. So walk in the light. How are you going to walk in light? If you follow me, you will not walk in darkness, he says. Live life as someone that is being shown how to live by God. Live life as someone who's being shown how to live by God. How's that? Look at verse 9. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving or demonstrating what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Go back to verse 10. Proving that is acceptable in the Lord. Following God and walking in the light means obeying God in what we know so far and determining to obey God in whatever he shows us from here on out. That's what it means to walk in the light. I'm going to do what he tells me to do. We'll say, I don't know what is good. I don't know what it is, but whatever it is, that's where I'm going. He's got the light. I don't like stepping in that stuff. I've done it a few times. In my life, I've done a few things that I've stepped in that stuff. I don't want to step in that stuff. I'm going to follow the light. Well, where are we going? I don't know, but that's where the light is. Because if I don't go where the light is, then I'm in the dark. I'm going to be in the dark in my life. I'm going to live. He says, don't follow. Have no fellowship. The unfruitful, barren, lifeless. See, when there's no fruit, there's no life in that. There's no life going out to the end of the limb. The fruit tree produces life. And inside that fruit is another seed that produces another tree, that produces more life, that produces more fruit, that produces more seed, that produces more life. But he said the unfruitful works of darkness, it's not going to get you anywhere. It's not going to do what we want it to do. He says, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Following God means obeying him. Have no fellowship. Get away from such things and do not participate with the unfruitful, the barren, lifeless works of darkness, but rather reprove them. That means take a stand against such things. Just simply say, I'm not going there. I'm staying where the light is. Yeah, but we're all going over here, and there's enough light for us. If that's where the true light is, listen, John the Baptist was not that light, but bore witness of the light. That was the true light. We've already been there. Oh, there's some false light, but there's some light that's going to show me life for what it really, truly is. Watch this, verse 12. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. In other words, this is an embarrassment for Christians to even know enough about such things to even discuss them. Well, I think our kids should be able to see all the world and be able to make a good decision and make a decision and they can decide on themselves. You're a fool. Let no man deceive you with vain words. If you're not taking your child by the hand, taking them in the light, we're following the light, kids. You're not taking them. You know what? There's going to be some man deceive them with vain words and said, you know what? That's okay, but we got light over here. Not the true light. Verse 13. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. Now watch this. You say, well, I think we need to go out and experience this stuff and we'll know. No, 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 no. The light shows us, shows everything for what it is. You don't have to go out and step in it and feel the squish and smell the stink to find out what it is. Turn the light on it. Oh, I know that one is. We don't need to be going around pointing out, watch this, we don't need to be going around pointing out everyone's sins in an effort to stop such things. Just live in the light and allow the light of Jesus to shine through you, and light, and the light that you shine with your life is enough to show sin for what it is. Let your light so shine before men that they may see the good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. Don't I need to point out all their sin? You do right. Offer them salvation. You give the gospel, make yourself the sinner first. Turn on the light. You're going to catch a whole lot more flies with honey than you are with vinegar. You want to lead somebody to Christ? Let them see Jesus in you and say, that's what I want. Well, you run around there and, yeah, you got to split well wide of what's your problem. You're not going to win anybody like that. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. If somebody, listen, he says, watch, I can't be walking in darkness and be shining light so that these people can now see. See, I'm not the light. So me trying to shine the light means I walked away from the light and I'm standing in darkness. Now I'm trying to talk to them in darkness and trying to be light. What do I need to do? I need to show them the light. Let's go over here. This is the light over here. This is where it is. If they're going to be able to see the problem, the light's going to have to be present there to show them the problem. Darkness isn't going to show darkness. Light reveals the darkness. Verse 14, wherefore, he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. You know what he's saying? Open your eyes to the light and stop living as if you're still dead rather than alive in Christ. We're alive in Christ and then we're still living in the darkness because we're not following the light. He says, wake up. The light just moved. Go over there with them. Are you where the light's supposed to be? I kind of like it right here. I'm not sure I'm ready to move. But the light's already moved. So if the light has already moved, then you're standing in the dark whether you liked it or not. You're standing in the dark whether you meant it or not. He says, listen, the darkness comprehended it not. That word comprehend means did not eagerly receive it. What that means is, they were just basically indifferent to it. So you don't have to necessarily be mad at Jesus or anti-religion or anti-Christ. You just need to, listen, end up like a Laodicean church. Think we're full and rich, we have everything, and don't know that we're poor, rich, and blind. We're just not walking in the light to eagerly receive the light. So he needs to open our eyes. Verse 15, see then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. You cannot walk circumspectly if you're not walking in the light, because you don't know where you're walking. And if we're not walking in the light, then he says, then we must be a fool. Number four, the way to stay in the light is to follow Jesus. Follow me. He said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me, John 8:12, he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Not the darkness of death. The light of life. Follow me, to be in the same way with, to accompany. To follow Jesus, we must go where Jesus goes. We got to do what Jesus does. We need to think like Jesus thinks. We need to give like Jesus gives. We need to be willing to sacrifice like Jesus sacrifices. The blind lead the blind into the pit. If you're walking in the darkness, how can we even lead somebody else to the light? Let me ask you a question here, a little personal. What are you walking close to? What are you following? What are you accompanying? He says, follow me and you'll not walk in darkness. What are you following? Whose light are you walking in? That's where you're getting your thoughts from. Just got some kind of obvious things. TV. I'm not saying you can't have a TV. But I tell you what, there's an awful lot of wrong thinking in TV. Some of you are going to get upset with it because they say they're just fun. I don't see how anybody can watch things like the Vampire Diaries. I don't watch them. I just see the advertisement. Sleepy Hollow, Zombies, Empire, Star. Wicked stuff. I read an article where one of the stars on Star said, this is great because it actually is so real. It's so close to real life. Not from what I've seen on the advertisement go by. Oh, my soul, if that's real life, they're the wonder the world's in darkness. They're walking in darkness, not in the light. Dr. Phil, The View, I'm sorry, Kelly Ripa, The Talk, The Real, The Whatever. Where are you getting? What are you following? Their philosophy or his philosophy? You cannot sit and watch that stuff and think it's not going to sink in a little bit. What are you on the internet? So I'm so confused. That's because you've got, listen, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. You're walking in, you're trying to walk in the Lord's dark light, and you're trying to walk in the darkness of the world at the same time. So you're kind of sitting in there, and you're in a gray area. And so everything is gray. Nothing's black and white. Nothing's clear. Have you ever noticed when you drive right at dusk? I've noticed now I'm getting older, it's even worse. It's almost blurry. It's weird when you drive at dusk. It's like, I don't know, it's all there, but you see, but you can't, and it's just weird. Your eyes don't know whether to adjust to the dark or whether to adjust to the light, just kind of stuck halfway in between. And that's where a lot of people are living, halfway in between. They're straddling a fence. That's not very comfortable. One foot on each side of the fence. Twitter. I'm not saying you can't have these things, but who are you following? Your friends are on Facebook. Who are you following? Well, you know, they did so and so and so and so. But are they walking in the light? Well, Daddy, you got the flashlight, but my buddy over here says there's something really interesting. I'll be right back. Squish. There's a whole bunch I'm going to do this. He says, no, just stick with me. You'll be better off. Jesus is always the light. The world is always darkness. Number five, if we are abiding in the light, we still need to open our eyes and make use of the light we're given. See, we can have the light shine all over us. But some of us just don't want to see. We don't want to see what we're supposed to see. If you have Jesus, you have the light. But are you willing to follow the light? See, Jesus is saying, he says, I'm the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Directing them. Do we follow the light or continue to walk away from the light into the darkness? If we're abiding in the light, we must open our eyes and make use of the light we're given. Number six, just a little example here. Not really another point. Thomas, I mentioned a little earlier, was in doubt, so he ran away from the light. Jesus was crucified. And I don't know where Thomas was, but he wasn't with where the light was. He went running. All the other disciples were there. The reason that Thomas was doubting is because Thomas had walked away from the light. And he said, I don't know. I don't know. I've got to see black and white. This particular time is almost as if God kind of opened his eyes for him. So here I am. Look here, put your hand in the prints of my hand and thrust your fist into my side. Be not faithless, unbelieving. If Thomas would have run to the light when things got difficult to see, rather than running away from the light, he would have had the victory a whole week earlier. It says a whole week later, when he finally sees it, he spent that week, my guess, and almost in torment. He spent 3.5 years following this man. I guess it's all fun. I guess it's all just a bunch of stuff. I guess it's just all story. It's all fake. It's not real. I know they said that they but that's, I can't be. My guess is he was hearing a lot of folks talk about them. Remember when Jesus met up with the two men on the road to Emmaus? And he was asking, well, so what is you talking about? Are you the only guy in Jerusalem that doesn't know what happened? Jesus Christ, we thought was Messiah, was crucified. Now he's dead. Are you the only one? Everybody in town knows this. So when Thomas was running around town, I wonder what he was hearing. Those crazy disciples. They think he rose again. My guess, in his heart, because light had been turned on, in his heart he wanted to believe. But he was out in the world, living in the darkness. Admonition. No matter what happens in life, stay close to the light. That's how you stay from, you keep him walking in the darkness. Stay close to the light. How's that? Psalm 119:104. Psalm 119:104. Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. The word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Stay in this book. Stay in this book, stay in this book, stay in this book. Read a psalm every day. Read a proverb every day. Get a chapter out of the Old Testament, a chapter out of the New Testament. Get this book in you. Listen, if you abide in him, that's salvation, and he abides in you, that's the word. You'll have the light that you need. 2 Peter 1:19 says, 2 Peter 1:19, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. He says, listen, that word shines as a light in a dark place. Listen. Then spake Jesus unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Stop walking in the dark. We don't have to. Follow him. Do what he says. Even so, I don't understand. Just do what he says. Why is it going back here? Just do what he says. Walk in the light. He has the light. You don't. Father, again, thank you for speaking to our hearts here this evening. I pray that our folks will walk in the light, not in the darkness. You have the light. It comes when we get the life, the born-again regeneration life of Christ. It comes in, and there's a certain amount of light that you've shown all of us to draw us to you. And then when we get you, we have that light. We need to open our eyes and follow you. May we walk in the light. Heads are bowed.